It was 9:30 on a particular Friday morning. This wasn't just any Friday morning. This is a special Friday morning. A Friday morning like none other. And on this Friday morning, Rabbi Shushan Gahori got dressed, taking 45 minutes to choose his outfit, much longer than normal. Some of the ladies might say, no, that's short. Careful, Phil. But he took much longer than normal. He wanted to look his best, wanted to make sure that his colors were just right for the mood. His wife and himself arrived at the location 1 hour before the appointment. Now, you've probably never heard of Rabbi Shushan Gahori. Anybody? Neither have I till I read this article that he wrote. But the rabbi, he is a director of a Jewish organization in South America in Chile. And as part of this organization, he's able to interact and have connections with various people. And in this article, he describes the preparation, the encounter, and the aftermath of meeting the king of Morocco. The king of Morocco was visiting Chile, as far as other dignitaries were there for some worldwide gathering. But Rabbi Gahori knew just the right people for him to be able to arrange this private meeting with the king of Morocco. What an experience. And so as Rabbi Gahori walked into the room where he was going to meet the king, he describes how he felt like he was floating towards the king. And he walked up to him and he kissed the king's hand and he said a Jewish blessing when you meet kings, and he gave him a special gift. And they talked for a few minutes, and the king actually invited the rabbi and his wife to Morocco for another private meeting together with the king. So you could say that that meeting went well. But what an amazing opportunity, huh? To meet with someone who is kingly, someone who is a superstar. And you know, it's interesting when you think about this. If we have the right amount of money, if we know the right contacts, and we have the right amount of time, we could go and be in the presence of almost anyone. An athlete or an actor or a king or a dignitary or a politician, if you really wanted to. We could really meet with a superstar anytime we wanted if we had all those things fall in line. But it's an awesome privilege to be in the presence of the King of Kings every day. And maybe we don't always comprehend this and always understand this, but think about what Isaiah 40, verse 28 says. I'll just read it for you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And here we have this awesome opportunity to come before the most powerful being in the universe, this majestic creator God who has a personal interest in each one of our lives. We've been talking about how God is near, how he is here. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he's there encouraging us, strengthening us, giving us the power to be brave, the strength to be brave, to be strong, to be courageous. And we can be brave because God is near. It's things that we've been talking about last couple weeks, right? God gives us the courage to face each day. He's with us in our sicknesses, in our weaknesses, in our brokenness, in our joys, and in our pains. Friends, we're not alone. He's with us. Now, some have thought, and some have even taught, that there are particular things, actions, thoughts, words that we can do to remove ourselves from His presence. Go to a particular place in town and God will not go with you. Or say this particular thing and God will leave you alone. There's people who have thought this and taught this. And so the question can then be asked, what are we to do to stay in His presence? What can we do to stay in His presence, to be in His presence, to remain in His presence? What do you do? Quick question. What do you do when you are not feeling the best? Maybe you've got a runny nose or a sore throat or a bad headache. Where do you go? Best place to go? The bed, yes, of course. But if bed doesn't work and you've got this sore throat for a while or a drippy runny nose for a while, where do you go? You go to the doctor. And the doctor is there and they take your certain tests and they look at you over and they tap your knee with a little hammer and they look in your ear with a light and they open your mouth, depress the tongue, right? All those kinds of things. Does all these tests and diagnoses you and listens to your heartbeat and listens to your lungs. And finally, the doctor concludes that you have a sinus infection. Common old sinus infection. You've lost your voice from it too, so you can't talk. And you're like, thank you, doctor. What am I supposed to do now? So the doctor whips out his little pad, grabs his pen, scribbles some things on that pad that you can barely understand because it's doctor's handwriting, right? And he says, go to the pharmacist. They can understand this, and they'll give you some pills. And the prescription the doctor has given you says amoxicillin. Take one pill 2 times a day for how many days? 10 days, right? And then also he says, drink plenty of water, get your rest, go to bed, and lay off the sugar. So the doctor gives you this prescription, okay? Now, can we take this concept of a doctor's prescription and can we have a prescription for Christian life? A prescription for the Christian walk. The question that we asked was, what are we to do to stay in God's presence? What are we to do to be in His presence, to be close to God? Well, a couple things that come to mind and probably come to your mind as well. We can pray. We can attend church, be with believers. We can sing and we can worship. We can be baptized. We can do good works, practice kindness, practice the fruits of the Spirit. And that'll draw us closer to God. I want to pause a moment. And I don't want to mislead anybody by what I've said and what I'm about to say. Because I've only shared a partial truth. The question that we asked, what are we to do to stay in His presence? Or what are we to do to be in His presence? And as I've read through the Bible, and you have as well, the answer that I get from the Bible is we are to do nothing. We're to do nothing because He is already here. He is always with us. Look at our scripture reading, our call to worship this morning, Psalm chapter 139. I want us to turn there again and look at it together again. Psalm chapter 139. If you ever feel like you're alone or you're discouraged or something, look at Psalm 139. Psalm chapter 139, David is writing this as a song. It's put to music. I'd love to have heard what their music was, if there was flutes or lyres or stringed instruments or whatever it might have been. But in Psalm chapter 139, from our call to worship this morning, verses 7 through 10, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So can we go anywhere where God's presence is not? So what can we do to be closer to God? He's always here. He's right here. So maybe the question should be rephrased then. And maybe we can rephrase the question and say, how can I become more aware of his presence? If he's already here, if there's nothing, no place that we can go, if we can go to heaven, the highest place, the best place in the universe, he's there. If we can go to hell, the worst place in the universe, he's there. If we stay on earth, in the sea, he's there. Maybe the question should be, how can I become more aware of his presence? About 2 months ago, my father quickly became aware of another presence in the room with him. For 9 years, my dad has been working on his PhD. He's read thousands of pages, written hundreds of articles, book reviews, his reflections on things. He's done the research, did the interviews, wrote his dissertation, done all the requirements, and on one weekend, at the end of July, it all culminated at Andrews University for graduation. He got to wear the funny suit. You know, the one that has the big sleeves, the octagon hat, and have the big hood and everything. I don't know why they do this in the summer, because it's quite hot. But it all culminated there. But as my mom and dad were driving to the hotel in northern Indiana on Friday evening of that weekend, Friday afternoon, they get to the hotel, they unload all their luggage on one of those neat little hotel carts, drive it into the elevator, ride the elevator up to the second floor where their room is located, and as my dad enters into the room, the moment that he entered, he was made aware that there was another presence in the room. The evidence was that there were some streamers across the entrance, little hallway. There were balloons taped to the mirror and to the hall and the doors. And up in the corner, there was a little camera focused in at the door. And he walks into the room and he opens it and he says, "What is going on?" And he looks at the camera and he creeps around the streamers. And as he rounds around the corner, he comes face to face with my sister and myself. Surprise! My mom had made arrangements for my sister and I to arrive in Chicago and go to the hotel and wait for him in anticipation and spend the weekend with him celebrating this great accomplishment of his PhD in leadership. But he did not know that that was happening until he was made aware of our presence. If we are made aware of the presence of God, it would open our eyes. We would be astonished. If our eyes were opened today, right now, and we could see the spiritual world around us, and we could see the good angels and the fallen angels, fighting and battling over the great controversy happening in our lives. Comics and movies have tried to depict this where they have the good angel and the bad angel on your shoulder talking to you, right? Or if you remember It's a Wonderful Life, the black and white film, the good angel, George, I forget his name. Clarence. Okay, thank you. I knew someone would have it. But it would open our eyes if we were made more aware of that, made more aware of God's presence around us. We could see that happening. And so when we rephrase that question, and since God is always with us, how can I remain aware of his presence? When Jesus gave his final instructions to his best friends, the disciples, and he said, go and make disciples. Go around the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And what did he say? Lo, I am with you always. If he's with us always, how can we be more aware of that? The synonyms, when you look at aware, if you look in a thesaurus, the synonyms for aware conjure up ideas of attentive, cognizant, conscious, being conscious of God's presence, being informed, being mindful, knowledgeable, acquainted, alert, being perceptive and perceiving that he's there. Well, for each person in our own spiritual walk, in our own spiritual life, awareness of God is a personal thing. And it's going to look different for every different person because we all have different experiences with God. I'd like to share with you something that has actually helped me in my walk with God to become more aware of his presence. And it's boiled down to two words. Two simple words. I like to keep things simple, right? The KISS principle. You know the KISS principle. Keep it simple, silly. So these two words, which has helped me, and the two words are, look up. Look up. Let's take for example, and imagine for example, that I'm walking along the sidewalk or walking through the hallway in the ad building or just walking somewhere, and I get a little hungry, so I pull out a little candy bar. I brought myself a little fun-sized crunch bar, right? And I go, I'm hungry, so I'm just going to have my little snack here. I'm going to spoil my lunch. And that crunch is good because it's a crunch bar. You want some? How about now? I could be a mama bird. No, won't go there. So I eat my crunch bar, and it was a hot day, and so there's like chocolate inside, you know? You know how things get kind of melted and chocolatey? And I want to get rid of the wrapper, but I don't want to put it in my pocket because I don't want to mess up my pocket. And there's no trash cans anywhere. I don't see any trash cans around. So what do I do? Now, I'll assure you, I don't do this normally. This is an illustration or example. I could carry it. Yeah, it's true, Micah. I could carry it. But the best thing, I should put it in a trash can, right? But there's no trash can around. I don't want to put it in a trash can. Or I want to put it in my pocket, get my pocket dirty. So I look left. I look right. I look behind me. And yeah, just keep walking. Just keep on walking. Did you see what I did? I dropped it. I littered it, didn't I? Now, is littering a good thing to do? No. I don't normally do this. This is for illustration. But which way did I fail to look? I failed to look up, didn't I? If God is with us all the time, and he is watching our every move, not to pinpoint us and point fingers and say, ha, look, John, you just littered and you dropped that trash. That's a sinful act. But God is watching us and he's observing us and he's encouraging us. And he's asking us to do what is right. Does knowing that that presence is with me all the time, does it change my behavior? It should. And when I'm aware that I need to look up, okay, God, you're watching me. I really shouldn't litter. I'll keep it in my pocket till I find a trash can. It changes my behavior. And it makes me more aware that he's there. So it's a reminder that he's there, that I wish to please him, not in a way to appease an angry God or anything, but because I love him and I wish to glorify him by my thoughts, by my behavior, by my motives, by my actions. And so this little example of the trash wrapper, this can apply to all other areas of my life, my spiritual life and my moral life and the decisions that I make. When I'm with my kids and I'm alone with them and they do something that ticks me off, nobody else is around, how do I treat my kids? Or when I'm in my office by myself, working on a project I'm working on, who keeps me accountable to stay on task? Or when I'm driving down the freeway and it's just me in the traffic, no one else is in the car with me and the cars around me I'm never going to see again for the rest of my life. Who watches the gestures that I give the car who just cut me off? Being aware of God's presence in our lives, does it change the way that we act? Should it? Is it good to know? Is it good for you to know that God is near? Can we join the Psalms where Asaph in the Psalms chapter 73 verse 28, he says, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all of your works. Is it good for us to know that he is near? And remember, he's not near to say, ha, I caught you doing that. But he's near and he's here to say, come closer. Let me give you some instructions on how I would handle that. Or let me encourage you. You've got this. Go ahead. You can do it. Going back to our Christian prescription example. All the things that we had listed, the prayer life, the Bible study, the good works, the reading of the Bible, the going to church, all those things that we listed, will they draw us closer to God? Everybody do this, right? They will, won't they? All of those actions. But the thing behind it is, what is your motive for doing them? Maybe you've heard in the past, or maybe you've grown up in the past, someone said, to be a good Christian, you must study the Bible every day at 5 a.m. And as you study, you must make sure that you write out all of your prayers. That is a good Christian. Well, maybe that was good for them. So what is the motive behind what you're doing in your Christian life? Rather than to be a good Christian, do this and this and this. Maybe do this and this and this because you want to be close to God and you want to dwell in his presence because you love him. Now, I don't want to oversimplify this concept of the presence of God, but I brought something to help us illustrate a little bit. Tennis racket, right? Tennis ball. Now, how many play tennis? Have you ever played tennis? How many play racquetball, okay? Racquetball? Yeah. All right. How many play golf? Kind of, Curtis, kind of, yeah. All right. In tennis, you got a ball and a racket and a net. We don't have a net right here. I don't know. Curtis could be my net. Okay. But in tennis, you could hit the ball anywhere you wanted on the racket. You could hit it up here, which I've done that many times, and it kind of rattles the racket all through the handle. You could hit it down here, lower to the handle. You could hit it on the side even, and it would go somewhere. You could even hit it right here in the middle, and I've had it do that and stick like that. You could even hit it with the butt of the handle if you wanted to, if you're a really good aim, and just, okay? But where is the best spot to hit the tennis ball? Right here in the middle, which they call the sweet spot. It's the center. It's the sweet spot. There's a spot right here where is when you hit it, that tennis ball right in that sweet spot, it is a glorious shot if it's aimed where you want it to go. And it'll bounce off of that racket, and it'll feel so good, and it'll be just right, and it'll be perfect. That is the sweet spot. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, there is a sweet spot in our attentiveness to God's presence. There's times in our Christian walk where we are just clicking with God. We are in sync with God. We are listening to the Holy Spirit's call upon our hearts. We are reading. We are praying. We are understanding God like we have never understood him before. And then there's moments when we know that he's there, but it's kind of hard to see him through the fog of life. There's a particular song that I've really been listening to recently. It's a song called Without You by two guys named Shane and Shane. They're Christian artists. And there's two lines in the middle of the song I want to just read to you. It's about the presence of God. And these two lines in the middle of the song, they say this: if your presence goes, I don't want to stay. If your presence stays, I don't want to go. Did you get that? If your presence goes, I don't want to stay. If your presence stays, I don't want to go. My friends, God's presence never leaves us. But his presence is dynamic. He's not going to just stay in that one place in our hearts and in our lives. He's going to move to another area of your life and say, have you thought about working on this? Have you thought about working on this? Have you thought about how you respond here? And so what the lyrics of this song are saying, they're showing a desire to dwell in his presence, to be aware, to be attentive, to be present, and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is a desire to not leave unless he is with us, to not stay if he is ready to move. And so, my friends, I ask the question, do we have the passion, the zeal, the desire to live in the presence of God? For it's in that sweet spot of being attentive to his presence, to knowing that he's there, to being aware, is where we find joy, because he's always with us and he's always there. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we are concluding this worship service, may it not be the conclusion of our worship with you today. May we continue to be aware that you are here, that you are with us in our lives, in our hearts, and that you want communion together. So God, may this be revitalized in our lives this week. May we recognize where we can see you moving, and may we join you. Guide us, go with us, in Jesus' name. Amen.